Welcome back. The Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center has been around for 50 plus years and has been here in Quincy for 10 plus years. And I'm just learning about them now, so maybe you are too. So welcome to the CEO, Ben Hires. And also Bartholomew Jay is here from the board. Gentlemen, thank you both for being on the program. Appreciate the opportunity.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Ben, as I mentioned, 50 years in existence, 10 here in Quincy, and first time here currently in Quincy, so let's not make it the last.
Definitely.
Tell me a little bit about the center itself, how it got founded.
Sure. BCNC, or Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center, has been around since 1969.
Wow.
I think we have a pretty exciting, interesting story from our founding. And the story was about that in Boston there was a community center, Josiah Quincy Community Center, that was being built. And there was going to be a healthcare center and an elementary school. But it turns out that there wasn't a lot of community engagement in this community center, or community input. And so some like first generation Chinatown immigrant, you know, college students kind of knew what was going on, and they went back to their community and their families and said, hey, there's this development happening. I think we should get involved and participate in, you know, what's going on right in our backyard. So that's really the origin story. And it was actually, in addition to Chinese immigrant families in Chinatown, there were Puerto Rican families from the South End, you know, African American families, white families, all living in that neighborhood. So it was really like a multiracial coalition. And after there was that engagement, you know, the community kind of realized, like, hey, like, we have a voice here.
Yes.
And we also know what we need for our families and for our community to be better. So our oldest program, which actually just celebrated last year 50 years, wow, is our child care center. Mm-hmm. So that was the first program that kind of evolved out of this group of families coming together and say, hey, what can we do to make our community better?
Yeah. So was it a case of leaders at that time just really not connecting with the community, just kind of going out on their own?
Well, I think, you know, much like we sometimes might feel today, is that sometimes, you know, people think they know better, mm-hmm, for a community or a city or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, mm-hmm, just overlook that step,
okay,
of, you know, getting the voices of the people who are going to be impacted,
yes,
or affected by what's going on.
Well, it's a great example of community engagement, right? And proactive, speaking out in your own behalf. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And then since then, we've had programs. So as the kids get older, you know,
yes,
you need another program.
That's right.
So you've got the preschool program,
yes,
and then we have now an after-school program and a summer program. So when the kids are out of school, we have a teen leadership and a teen access program. Then we have programs for adults who are immigrant adults who are trying to learn English, as well as pursue jobs here. And we have a program called Family Services, so that provides a whole range of programs, but really centered on helping parents and families acclimate to their new home here, get connected to resources, and then just manage, you know, challenges that any family,
sure,
might be going through.
Yeah.
And we have what's called the PAL Art Center, which is a partnership with Bunker Hill Community College and BCNC. That's also has a really amazing origin story. And, you know, right now in Quincy, we have three of our programs, which is our youth program for teens, our adult education programs that teach English, and then our family services.
And those aren't, I mean, you've been, like I said, in Quincy for 10 years?
Yeah, yeah. I was reflecting earlier that one of the first places that we officially kind of had places to teach English was at Eastern Nazarene Church,
wow,
classrooms.
Okay.
But yeah, we've had location in North Quincy, and then we kind of got bigger there.
Sure.
We were over top of the McDonald's there.
Okay. Yep.
And then we renovated a space in Quincy Center, which was really important just because we're close to public transportation.
Certainly,
and,
yeah,
you know, center of Quincy. And so we've been there probably for about a little over 6 years.
Okay.
And still expanding.
I was going to say, looking for more space, right?
Yeah. We are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The center itself is a nonprofit 501c3,
correct,
corporation, so we,
yep,
should mention that. And you are relatively new, right, yourself?
Yeah, I look young for 50 years, but I've been part of BCNC as CEO for a little over 5 years.
Okay.
I started at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yes.
So a very interesting time,
yes,
to take this leadership role. So since June 2020, I started, and you know, when I began, myself and all of our staff were all remote. And you know, I remember, you know, that time during COVID, obviously, it was very intense. And I mentioned our childcare program, and we have probably 30 plus amazing early education teachers and staff, and they were one of the first groups of our staff, let alone first groups of, you know, staff across the city that went back in person and were providing childcare for, you know, first responders and grocery store workers and, you know, police officers, et cetera.
People that had to work in person.
But they had to work in person. There's not, I think maybe many parents may like this or not like this, there's not really a virtual childcare program out there.
Right, yeah. It's called a television, yeah. Unfortunately, right? Yeah. But not for younger kids, certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a challenge. What was your path to that position?
Sure. Previously, right before joining BCNC, I worked for the Boston Public Library.
Oh, okay.
I was the director of strategic partnerships and worked with the president of the Boston Public Library, looking at how to, you know, support the library's programs, also making connections with other educational and cultural and arts institutions. And as many people may or may not know, it was new for me, I was actually a city employee. So it was really incredible for me to kind of get that inside look about how city government works. And you know, the library is a really amazing institution. Mm-hmm. You know, Boston and, you know, in Massachusetts was the first place for a public library system. So a lot of great history and heritage, and like BCNC, really important free programs for people.
Yes. What is the funding sources for BCNC?
We're fortunate to have really a diversified mix of funding. One of our biggest areas of funding is government support and contracts. So like our child care program, we work with the Early Education and Care Department. For our adult education programs, we work with DESE. Then, you know, like many nonprofits, we're really fortunate to have a lot of generous individual donors, yes, as well as, you know, foundations and corporate supporters.
Sure, very good. And you have an active board.
we do.
Of which BJ is a proud member and a Quincy resident too, right?
Yeah,
BJ?
That's right. Yeah, I tend to introduce myself as a bit of a townie. I grew up here in the Wollaston area,
yes,
just as that picture shows, and immigrated from Hong Kong to here in 1982. And so I've been in Quincy for 43 plus years. And I still live here with my family, two children at Central Middle School. And I work in Quincy as well on my day job at the NFPA.
Okay.
And so it's been a great adventure to watch how Quincy has changed over those 40 plus years.
Yes.
And how the demographic significantly has changed towards more and more Asian immigrants.
Certainly,
and so that,
yes,
really got me interested in BCNC.
Yeah, I think the last census in 2020, it was 35-36%. It's probably higher than that now, I would think.
Yeah, and I when I was in Central myself, there was a handful of kids like myself that went to English as a second language class.
Mm-hmm.
When I graduated from Boston College High School, I was the only Chinese kid in my class.
Is that right?
Well, yeah. Tacky was a year younger than me.
Oh, okay.
So he was in the grade below me.
Oh, he'll be happy to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we've known each other since high school.
Sure.
But yeah, it's and to, you know, the way I talk about it, if you know New York, I talk about Quincy as if it was like Flushing, New York, where there is a Chinatown, but Flushing is a bigger Chinese population,
sure,
than Chinatown. Quincy is similar in the fact that we are much bigger geographically.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot more Asians here.
Sure.
And they're more centrally located from Wollaston to North Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why?
No.
There's an interesting reason for that.
Do tell.
Do you remember when we paid for tokens to take the
tea? To ride the tea, sure. Yeah.
Where did the tokens go from one token to two tokens?
Oh, I don't know.
Quincy Center.
Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
So, you know, where people, when they were immigrating into Quincy,
yeah,
they wanted to stay in that area before the next token is needed to ride the train.
Ah, so it was a financial issue.
It's always a financial issue.
Interesting.
That's right, that's right.
Tell me about your path to BCNC.
Yeah, so I was leading a local chapter of an organization called Ascend Leadership. And they're North America's largest organization focused on developing Asian professionals and leaders, we were looking for a community organization to support and help, and so we kind of reached out to BCNC and did something together.
I see.
And that's when BCNC and I got to know each other, and that was a time when they had just started their presence in Quincy. Me being a Quincy resident, they said, hey, would you join the Quincy Leadership Council within BCNC, which is a bunch of local leaders who either live in Quincy or very close by in the South Shore area, who help to think about what we should be doing in Quincy and how we should be doing it. And so I got involved there, and then once Ben got hired, for some reason somebody said, well, that guy's been around for a while, maybe he should we should think about adding him to the board. And so that's when I joined the board shortly after Ben became the CEO. And then now I am one of the co-chairs of the Quincy Leadership Council as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And for me, it's an important step because I'd done a lot for professional development for the Pan-Asian community. And I had reached a point in my life where I said community matters too. And so this was a great way for me to switch where my focus was with my extracurricular activities. And having grown up here and having seen what it takes to thrive as an immigrant, I felt that the mission of the organization made a lot of sense.
Okay. And has it been rewarding for you? Has it been fulfilling?
It has. Yeah. So listening to the stories of the children that once upon a time were in the daycare.
Yes.
And now are lawyers.
Yes.
And thinking fondly back to the programs that they participated with BCNC.
I would think, yeah.
That is just
a full circle moment.
I'm getting goosebumps as I talk about it, right? And then what we also do a lot during board meetings is we actually share success stories of the recent graduate from programs and stuff, and it's always, we call them impact stories, and it's always amazing to hear how much the participants of our programs get out of what we're doing.
Yes.
So it's amazing.
A teacher probably experiences that same feeling, right?
Oh,
when
yeah,
they
absolutely.
See a student thrive in adult life, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But you're involved particularly with youth groups, and the high school youth groups?
No, I'm on the board.
Right.
And the Quincy
right.
Leadership Council, which is, again, the local group of leaders. But we do have youth groups. I have not been participating with them lately.
Right.
But we have a very strong youth group with both North Quincy and Quincy High School students.
I'd be curious to hear about that, Ben. Maybe you could tell us about that.
Yeah. We have a youth program that has two focus areas. One is for college access and then post-secondary success.
Okay.
So what, you know, helping young people think about what their next step is after high school if it's not directly college. And that's a mentor-based program. So we work with people like from Ascend or other people who are young professionals who may have had, you know, you kind of heard this immigrant journey themselves and want to give back. So they are paired with a, you know, in most cases, a first generation young person. So maybe their parents didn't go to college or didn't go to college in the US. And so, as you probably may remember, the process can be complicated. You're applying for financial aid. You're trying to figure out what you want to study. You may need to get your grades up your junior year. So we have a mentor who's paired with a, you know, a junior and stays with them for 2 years.
Okay.
Gets them ready. We run workshops and, you know, help support them in their junior year to get ready to apply for college in their senior year. And then, let's see, we're getting into that season, right, where people are starting to think about that. And then, you know, we've been very fortunate to have, you know, a lot of amazing celebrations with these young people as they, you know, move on to their college plans. Then the second area of our program it's called You Lead, and it's a youth leadership program. And it's a partnership with the Department of Public Health Office of Problem Gambling Services.
Okay.
And the whole idea is that, you know, whether it's gambling or addiction or other challenges that are facing young people today, what they really need is supportive relationships with each other, with adults, and opportunities to do good work and, you know, grow in their own leadership. So that program, we have about 25 students in each program, but we have a waiting list. I was telling BJ earlier that we're trying to really get folks off of the waiting list. And we have a space in our main office on Hancock Street that's dedicated just for our youth. And then some of the time they go into North Quincy High School and they have they do programming there too.
Okay, all right.
So it's, you know, young people keep us young, right? And it's always exciting to see what their interests are. how we can help them, and then, you know, see them into the future.
So you need more mentors, it sounds like, to cut down that waiting list. Right?
We're always looking for great mentors, looking for opportunities. Like you were mentioning that, you know, potentially we could have our young people come here down to Quincy Access TV and learn about the studio.
Certainly.
And, I'm sure some of them would have really great interest in that.
Absolutely. We'd be happy to have them as well. I'm curious, I don't want to run out of time before we talk about your plans to expand mental health counseling.
Yeah, one of our big priorities for our organization, strategic priorities, is the mental health of the Asian community. And certainly coming out of COVID the last couple of years, we've seen the huge increase in the needs, you know, whether it's anti-Asian hate that was happening, whether it's, you know, multi-generational family conflict, whether it's a young child who's, you know, dealing with some sort of issue. And so we've prioritized to address that. And, you know, like mental health across the whole United States, there's just not enough access. There's just not enough providers. There are not enough counselors with the expertise. And in the instance of the Asian community, language access and cultural competency is really, really important. So we are opening a mental health clinic, and you know it'll be a Department of Public Health licensed clinic. We just hired an amazing clinical director, and so we're going through the process of getting credentialed. And you know, we really will serve children, families, adults, multi-generational families, etc.
Here in Quincy?
Right here in Quincy. We're going to be right here in Quincy Center. At 1150 Hancock. We're in the final phases of kind of getting the clinic all shined up, and hopefully it'll be open the next year.
Next year or so, okay, very good. Speaking of events, so you just came off a pretty successful event, right? The Family Fun Run, BJ?
Yeah, right up in Pageant Field.
Yeah, how did it go?
It was great. Yeah. I mean, again, the weather, right?
Right, it was like, perfect.
It was perfect for running or walking. I don't run. But even walking, it felt great because, you know, you're hot, but it's cool outside. And we had probably the most people we've ever had by multiplying by two.
We had over 250 people from children to families.
We've had this event for multiple years, and between last year and this year, it doubled in size of participation.
Nice.
So it was great. And we had a lot of folks who kind of supported us with gift cards and silent auction items as well. So. And then there was massage and stretching going on?
We had that. And then we had the Parker School. Francis Parker School has a run club.
Oh. Yeah.
And this was their kind of culminating, you know, fall activity.
Okay.
And for a lot of those kids, it was their first 5K.
Ah, very good.
So it was a great community day.
Nice.
Great weather. And get a little exercise.
Excellent. And you have a big event every spring, summer as well, right? That folks should check out.
We do a family fun fair.
Yes.
That brings thousands of people.
At the Atlantic School.
Yes. BCNC.net. Great place to go for more information, right? We'll have you both back if that's okay. We'd love to have
love
you.
Love to.
Be wonderful.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.